Call this meeting to order. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Welcome to Law Enforcement Public Safety, Wednesday, July 7th, 2021. I'll start with approval of the May 24th minutes. Motion to approve.
I'll move it.
Yep.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. And I'm going to try to be good about... No easy way. I'm going to hand this to you first. Next, we have the motion to approve the minutes for the special meeting on June 2nd.
I'll move it.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Yep.
We'll start with you, Phil. Legislative parity?
Pardon? Yep.
Thank you.
Usually they're color coded.
I don't know if this is in my pay grade here, just passing up the papers. I gotta hand that over.
Put the rest of you. You want them to
do them at the end?
Is that okay with you?
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
Okay. That's you gotta remember your vote, though.
Yeah.
Or Jay can maybe put your vote and you can sign it.
I always do.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's start with resolution number 291, confirming the appointment of Everett Erickson as Director of Emergency Communications and Emergency Management. Motion to discuss. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any discussion?
I'd just like to move it forward. I think it's an excellent choice. I met with him a couple times at the Fire Training Center. He seems to know a lot what's going on. He's been around for a while, and... I'm very proud to support his nomination, so I move it to support it.
Thank
excellent.
You.
Excellent. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 310, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $30,100, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment to be in excess of $50,000 for Public Safety Psychology, PLLC, with the sheriff. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it to discuss.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion, Sheriff? Do you want to just give us a quick...
You want to elaborate?
So it's basically the psychological exam that we did for new hires. And that's really what this is about. This part, Division of Criminal Justice Services, that just passed part of that police reform package in April. That all law enforcement are now going to be required to do polygraphs. So that's something, it's unfunded. Not this year, but it's going to be effective starting in October, so we're going to have to put that in next year's budget.
Just preparing us for another.
Right. I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you. All right. All in favor of resolution number 310?
I'm a yes.
Okay. No opposed, no abstained. Resolution 311, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $2,596 for New York Communication Company, also for the sheriff. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it to
second.
Discuss.
Yep.
Okay. Sheriff, you want to quickly?
So it's the upgrade of some equipment for our command posts, mobile command posts, in conjunction with the Office of Emergency Management at Everett.
Terrific. All in favor of Resolution 311?
Aye.
Okay. And aye. Resolution 312, amending the 2021 budget to accept an allocation of funds from New York State Office of Prevention of Domestic Violence for probation. Motion to discuss.
I'll move
second.
It.
Second.
Second,
yep. No, I'm saying.
Getting free money for that.
Want to just quickly tell us what it is in
sure,
10 words
or less? They offered us free money for, it actually is retroactive, but we didn't know it was coming, and so we plan to purchase a vehicle for our Crime Victims Assistance Program, and if there's money left, then a couple of laptops and just technology to be able to do more of what we already do.
Wonderful. All in favor of Resolution 312?
I mean, yes.
Yes. Legislative parity?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution number 313, authorizing the county executive to execute an agreement with Dutchess County for the provision of reciprocal, there we go, conflict defense with the public defenders. Motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
I'll move it. Now, what
second.
Exactly is that?
So, go ahead, John.
quite simply, we have essentially three tiers of public defense work we do under 18B of the state, section of law, where we are required to provide defense work and legal work for the indigent members of our population. Our public defender office is essentially the primary defender. If there's a conflict where maybe there's two defendants, public defender's office handles one defendant. Our second level of conflict resolution is what we call the conflict defender. Some of the public defender's office for Dutchess County is actually stationed here working our cases. Some of our members from Ulster County are working in Dutchess. And it's a very successful program for us because it's...
This has been going on
for several years, yes. Oh. We're trying to expand it slightly.
Okay.
It's like an assigned counsel. It takes over for assigned counsel.
It's very much like an assigned counsel, but it's a public defender office. We're using a different public defender office.
It's been that way for years.
We're using theirs.
I just wanted to...
That's okay. So a couple of things. One is, if you can give us a hand on encouraging the public defender to come when there's something on the agenda that's related. We're having a little bit of trouble with that. It would be appreciative. So also, in the 2021 budget, we put in for the full-time assigned counsel administrator and a full-time second person. So I understand you hired the full-time assigned counsel administrator. And what's the latest with the second position?
Well, the latest right now is he's building out the systems for the assigned counsel program. It's actually going to be based on what Onondaga County did. It's a web-based system where we have to create rules. I'm sure you understand.
Sorry, so did you hire the second position?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay, that's what I was wondering is...
No, currently we actually were working on finalizing a contract with the vendor for the web-based programming to be able to create the pools, create the qualifications, and put together the various divisions of assigned counsel qualified attorneys. So there's an application process. This is all web-based. It'll be linked from the, there'll be a page for the conflict defender, the 18B lawyers, and they'll have to first qualify, then they'll be placed in the pool, and then the billing and assignment will be administered through the office.
And then will there be that second position hired?
I would anticipate, based on the workload at that time, yes. The first step is actually putting the system in place and finalizing the contract to build out the computer backbone for it.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's important that position that got approved gets filled. Also, the Office of Indigent Legal Services expects every county to have an assigned counsel plan. I told you way many, many years ago, no, but months ago, I have the initial draft of a county assigned counsel plan. I think we should go through that and tweak it however it needs to, but Office of Indigent Legal Services expects that every county has this plan.
I know Jim is working very closely with ILS pretty much on a daily basis on putting this together. So,
well, it's more than just the software system. It's a broader how we're going to approach assigned counsel, including these reciprocity agreements and all the other elements and how we're going to have panels and what kind of trainings we planned on doing and all of that.
Right, but just to be clear, the reciprocity between Dutchess and Ulster is completely separate. It's a different tier of
I understand. But it is in the side council plan in the draft that I'm already working on. It's been there for a long time since we always did that. So but I do think it's important we kind of prioritize that and get it to ILS. All right. All in favor of Resolution 313?
Aye.
All right. Criminal Justice Reform Task Force update. Our last meeting will be this month, and we will finalize our report suggested resolutions. And then those are all going to be presented to the full legislature in the August meeting. But the resolutions I'm not going to make the July deadline, so the August deadline, so you'll see them in September. And I'll just say internally, and we could talk about it when you also have them in front of you, several of these resolutions are for new positions. And I'm putting them forward with the task force. We're putting them forward now, understanding that it's quite reasonable that some of them would be suggested to just pause until and put them in the 2022 budget. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. It just seemed to make sense since our deadline was July to present all of this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will present these as real resolutions that we're talking about now, but if the decision of this group is to put any of those off for the 2022 budget, it's totally
fine
and expected. So
now, these resolutions that you're going to be proposing, these are resolutions that you drew up on your own?
No, with this task force over
a
year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, there's about, I would say, maybe 10 resolutions.
Oh my God.
There's a package of a whole kind of reform of criminal justice, and that a pretty robust group of people who've been meeting.
Sounds like it was a lot of work also.
It was, and yeah. I have a great group of people, and a couple of them are here coming every month and working through these, so you'll have them soon. As soon as we finalize in July, I'll make sure that you all get it as the first look. And then we'll have it in front of us in September, have all of them, and then decide how to handle each one. Any new business before we get to continued business? All right, so for continued business, we wanted to talk about the issue with understanding and examining, looking at violence, recognizing the increase of violence that's occurred in the last year or so in Ulster County. And we heard from several of the programs that deliver services. And so the question is, there's a few questions on the table. I mean, I guess the primary one is to hear what you two, at least, feel would be the most appropriate next step. And I can express for myself also what I would think like to do next, given what we've learned. Whether a public hearing is the direction that's still desired, and if so, what the specific objectives would be, or whether there's other pathways, other things that might be suggested at this time. So do you want to start?
Sure. I've talked about this before. I don't generally make a habit of repeating myself, but violent crime is out of control. We've been talking about it for a year now. I know we had the presentation a month ago that really didn't have anything to do with crime on the street. Why did it happen? Why did it happen? For 6 months, I kept hearing the pandemic. Crime was starting to increase around here. At the end of 2017 and 2018 and 2019, why? Did something occur? Maybe nothing. I have my own thoughts. But right now, you know, there's always people want to get to the bottom of things, whether it be the Wuhan virus or the building collapse in Florida. Why did it happen? What can we do to prevent it from happening again? I know, I will repeat myself, I know the sheriff and some of the law enforcement people had patrols around the city. And the homicides and a lot of the different violence dropped to nothing for 4 to 6 weeks. And some people started screaming about it. Now, I kind of like to plain talk. If some of these folks, we don't like cops around. Well, say so. We don't care if people get shot. We don't like cops. Send them home. So the patrols, to some degree, disappear or completely disappear. And there's 5 or 6 homicides over the last 6 months. What do people have in mind? What can we do to stop the violence? I know the governor's come up with something now. You could bring people in here. We have 8 representatives in Albany who represent Ulster County or parts of it. They may have an idea on what to do. We have law enforcement people, whether it be our own sheriff, whether it be state police people, chiefs from other communities, union people who might have an idea. We might have to protect some people who would want to tell us what they think went wrong, but it could jeopardize their job because their boss doesn't want to hear them say what really happened.
Right.
I think there's two questions. Why did this happen? And number two, what can we do? Hey, maybe the Attorney General will come down from Albany. She seems to have some ideas now.
So
we got a new mayor in New York City, or possibly a new mayor in New York City, who campaigned on public safety. I've been talking about public safety for a year and a half now.
So
let's invite them in and say, what can we do to assist law enforcement? Do you have any suggestions for law enforcement? Do you have the district attorney, public defenders? They all might know what to do.
So legislative parity, just to be clear,
yeah.
You're proposing that we have a public hearing and
we have guests come in.
Okay, and that the objective of it is to understand why violence went up and to understand what we can do, and that you're proposing we invite all of our state-level politicians, all
the mayor,
of our,
the police chief,
all of our local-level politicians, and the department heads of all criminal justice agencies and police chiefs in the municipalities.
Yeah, and it could be up to you. There might very well be a professor from John Jay University who has some interesting ideas. I have no problem.
Okay, that's what you would like to do going forward. Do you want to speak about what you would feel the best step would be?
In all honesty, Eve, when we started with this, I had voted at that time not to do a public hearing, but we did decide that when we got through this work with this task force, that we would take a look at possibly doing a public hearing. Personally, I don't see where it can hurt, and there's a lot of people out there that know much more about this than I do, and for at least one time or two times, I would like to hear from the professionals. PA or police chiefs or the sheriff or people in Albany who deal with these things every day to see what their input is and feeling why these things have been happening and what their opinion would be to change it and to make it better. I think a public hearing, you send out an invite to those people if they want to come, and more than they should feel pressure to come. Who comes, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay.
That's my feeling, to get more input from people who deal with this stuff on a day-by-day basis, not come to a meeting once a month and try to figure it out.
So I feel like I don't want to do a public hearing.
Okay.
I feel like, and this is just mine, I feel like we heard from the people who did it on a day-to-day basis. And that's what we got. We got from the sheriff who does it on a day-to-day basis, and the district attorney on a day-to-day basis, and probation on a day-to-day basis. And we heard from them, and we heard from the programs that we fund. I also feel like I do know why the violence went up. I don't personally feel like it is a secret or a mystery. I do feel like I would like to put my money where my mouth is. And so
on the what?
My money where my mouth is.
Okay.
That what I think, what I would love to see is, so a couple of things I've understood from both the presentations that were given and the own tremendous amount of research I've done on it. One is we need a more robust type of violence prevention and targeting specifically, and I've talked to the sheriff about this, that much of the violence is done by a small number of people, and much of the people who are potentially engaged in violence, the law enforcement know who they are, and that there are ways that there's programs that can occur that really target, and this has happened in other places, those small groups of people who are the most who are engaging in this, and that we've learned they're often almost always some kind of gang association, often with a drug kind of deal. It's not a mystery who these violent players are.
Right.
And to really do an intensive, so I would believe, I would like to put money behind an initiative that targets the high-risk violent perpetrators or potential perpetrators, focusing on young people, and really put the expectation on the sheriff's office to create some kind of defined program that really targets those people who need to be targeted. The other thing I learned is there's a slightly different issue going on in Saugerties, in New Paltz, Allenville, and Kingston. There's four areas, but right. It's not exactly the same what the problem is. I have to admit, Cuomo's, you know, mentioning of his response to violence sort of got me thinking, communities are really the best, and this is sort of speaks to what you're saying, but the community members are the best to identify what their concerns are, what their fears are, what the right. kinds of problems are. We have an organization called Ulster Prevention Council. I can imagine a scenario where we put $100,000 to Ulster Prevention Council to give $25,000 to New Paltz, $25,000 to Saugerties, $25,000 to Kingston, and $25,000 to Ellenville to form a community group, and that they would have that $25,000 to do some anti-violence initiative in their community.
Like targeting these
but the
people.
The people who live there, so let the people in Ellenville form, with the support of the Ulster Prevention Council, come together, identify what they want to do in Ellenville, and they could use their $25,000 to do something there. Because that's going to be different than what New Paltz is going right. to want to do. It's going to be different than what Kingston's going to want to do, and it's going to be different what Saugerties wants to do.
Everybody's needs are different, exactly.
And that group would be that opportunity to hear, like, what are our concerns? Is this more of a domestic violence problem here? Is this more of a gang thing here? Is this more youth? Is this something different? And that they can design a prevention activity specific to their community, but utilizing Ulster Prevention Council, which we already have, that could potentially, they already do these community groups around prevention for substance abuse for youth and other kinds of prevention activities. So this, they're situated to form these community groups and help them do these initiatives. So for me, rather than talking about it, I would love to see an initiative for an aggressive campaign, an aggressive intervention focused on youth at risk for engaging in violence, and I would like to see money put towards Ulster Prevention Council for four different community interventions in our four high-risk areas. That's what I would think. Any thoughts on what you think is the next step?
Apologies for being
no
stuck at work. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think all of our final goal is something to come to a conclusion where we can take action, but action that's within our purview as the legislature.
Right.
You know, we can't dictate to local police chiefs what they should be doing. There's only so much we have the purview to address. I think that's an excellent idea with the Ulster Prevention Council. Legislative Parity, you and I both served the UCAN task force that provided recommendations to the legislature. I think what was the name? Ulster County Against Narcotics. Yeah, task force that provided actual legislative solutions and actions the legislature could take. I'd be interested. I think that funding mechanism is logical, and I'd be interested in any recommendations they would have for us if it was just funding, but also, again, if there are policies in which we could enact. But again, you know, I think our time as legislators is best served taking action, and, you know, there's only so much that can be gained from a public hearing in which we likely hear from a lot of individuals and a lot of issues in which we don't have any purview over. I don't want to waste the public's time. I don't want to waste our time. So I think that is a very interesting approach to take that I would be supportive of.
And I like that idea that not only would they do an initiative within their community, but that they come
like
back to us
idea,
with suggestions
right.
of larger county level
I
legislation
like
they would
idea.
Like to see.
Well, there's two different things. One is, why did it spike? You know, I heard the presentation last week, GIB, gun-involved violence elimination. The program appears to be an abject failure. It started in 2013 or 14. They pumped the money into the DA's office and other areas and nothing for law enforcement. And it sure spiked. So why did that happen? You have your reasons. That's fine. The pandemic didn't start until 2020. So we're talking about a year and a half when something happened. Now, you know, we all probably drove to get here. And we all probably speed on occasions. You know why we speed? Because the chances of getting caught are nil. You got to be unlucky to get caught speeding. And if you're polite to the policeman, he may give you a warning and say, don't let me catch you doing this again. We've got that problem, or the perception of that problem. That yes, you get caught, but there's all sorts of extenuating circumstances. I know the police know, as you said before, there's only 5, 6, 10 people in the community, 2 or 3 in other communities, that they really got to be worried about. And that's surveillance, yes. Investigative work, yes. And get rid of them somehow. We don't have to say, you be a good guy or gal and we're going to be all right. If they do something wrong, ban them. And there should be consequences. The public doesn't think there's consequences. And if somebody came in and said, one of these legislators or criminal justice people, and said, I think we need 30 more policemen. Well, it's something to consider then. Well, we can't afford it. Okay, we can't afford it. Can we afford not to? Then somebody else would say, that's absurd. We don't need more policemen on the streets. There's a problem out there. And I've been waiting for a couple of months. You know, listen, we all got blindsided about the discovery laws and how much it was going to cost. You should have been told that. And this group did pass a motion to invite the leaders of our community, the legislature in Albany, the DA and the other folks, to tell us what is the impact of the discovery laws. And I said, and I'll repeat myself, 2 people told me it was going to be more difficult and more expensive than you think. One was him and one was his predecessor.
So I think that...
Because people aren't whispering in our ear what we should do, or eliminate the name public safety from the committee, and that's the end of it.
So again, I agree that a lot of people, like you said, law enforcement seems to understand who are the key players, and there needs to be a mechanism to engage with them. So I'm going to just ask the sheriff, would you mind describing, understanding it's more on a conceptual level, that the potential program that we had talked about that might be useful here to work with those high risk. And again, when I say high risk of violence, I mean like these are the kids that are most likely to be engaging. So do you mind explaining it a little bit?
Absolutely. Good evening, everyone. And always, it's great to see everybody in person without a mask on. Obviously, the issue of violent crime is not isolated to Ulster County. It's a nationwide phenomenon. Here in New York, we all know, we just went to Bail Reform 1 and Bail Reform 2. And that does have an issue when it comes to the crime, because individuals that have an actual good case against them and are released on bail reform know that they have nothing to lose, so if they commit another crime, it's not a big deal. They're going to go to jail eventually when the courts opened up after the pandemic. So that was definitely something that nobody knew was going to happen, and happened. The discovery laws, of course, cases being dismissed when discovery isn't done in a timely fashion, also had an effect with individuals being cut loose. Having no confidence in local law enforcement, when you hear or see that law enforcement, that there are shootings and nobody sees or says anything, it's because there's a lack of trust between that community and law enforcement in order to build the case. Remember, we just can't throw people in jail. We have to get witnesses. We have to get evidence to put people behind bars. Just saying, I think he did it, isn't going to work. And so there's a whole combination of things that has led to the increase of violence. A couple of weeks ago, I had a meeting with the county executive, Mayor Noble, Chief Tinty, and myself. We know who these folks are. There's intel out there who they are. There's no cases against them. And if you have no case to put them in jail, no evidence, then you have to try something else. And so what we decided to do, putting something together along with the, and of course this isn't public yet, is to put a team together to identify those individuals classify them on how violent they are. And most of them, there were three brawls, for example, in a three-week succession in the Ellenville area. Once law enforcement showed up, you're all out. So we have no case, but there's no witnesses, and they're gone. There were three kids that got stabbed during one of these cases in the village of Ellenville. We just had a homicide in the village of Ellenville about a week ago, and it was a love triangle and gang-affiliated case. Again, we know who the individual is, but putting a case against them is kind of difficult when there are no witnesses. We know who he is, we're going to get the evidence, and we're going to go after him. This initiative that we're talking about between the county executive, the mayor, the chief, myself, and the district attorney's office is based off of intel that's already out there. There's no evidence to arrest these folks because there's no cases against them, but we know who they are. So what we're going to do is that we're going to take the initiative. Instead of waiting for them to do something, we're going to go knock on their doors and go talk to them and try to get those guns off the street. Most of these individuals are from the ages of 14 to 25. A lot of them don't have education. Legislator Parity was at a meeting that we go to every other Tuesday in the city of Kingston. And there was a mother that was there who, her life herself, she had a troubled life, and her kid was responsible for about 40% of the shootings the last year and a half in the city of Kingston. And she said, even though her life was troubled, and he's going to 8 years in prison, that when she tried to get help for him, nobody would be able to pick up the phone and help her. He went to foster care and was sexually abused. He was mentally abused. He has no moral compass.
And your program would include a social worker?
So this program that we're talking about is locating these individuals, classifying their dangerousness, their weapons, drugs, gang affiliation, and try to get them out of that life, and trying to get them mental health, try to get them counseling, try to get them an education to get them off. First of all, we have no case on them right now anyway. So doing nothing is not the answer. Waiting for them to do something is not the answer. But if we know who they are, let's at least go knock on our doors.
And would you be willing, if we could put the money behind it, to expand this so that it's not just a Kingston, but it's a Kingston, it's a countywide, but with a focus on Kingston, Saugerties, Ellenville, and New Paltz?
Right. Each area, like you said, Chairwoman, has a specific issue. For example, New Paltz has a lot of folks that come in from Poughkeepsie, during the holiday, during the weekends and Friday, Saturdays, and the bars are open, and you know when they close, there's brawls. So each, you know, Ellenville is a smaller microcosm of the issues in the city of Kingston. It's poor. There's no education. There's no jobs. And unless we break that cycle of being poor and no jobs and educating these kids before they go through a life of crime, there's no case that we can put together. Nothing's going to happen. And if you think about it, it's almost the same framework that's already working in my office, and that's Oracle. It's the same thing, but focusing on individuals that are in that age group that I described, that are in gangs and affiliated, don't have an education, and this team will have a mental health expert. This team would have detectives from both the sheriff's office and the agency, whether it's the city of Kingston, and whether it's Ellenville PD, whether it's New Paltz, or whether it's Saugerties assigned to it. And they're going to go out, instead of waiting for them to do something, go knock on their doors and start working on it. Because then we've exhausted that, and that's when we go right back to our tactics of surveillance and then waiting for them to do something. But what we're doing here is trying something that hasn't been tried before, and that is having a proactive approach to go after these individuals that are poor and uneducated, try to get them to a job, try to get them to school. There'll be a part-time counselor, and that counselor is going to focus on those kids that are skipping school already and try to get them back into school. and try to work on those from the middle school on up. We've lost an entire generation on this right now. And we have there's no evidence, and there's no case, we have nothing. So why should we wait for them to do something when we know who they are?
And I would imagine just engaging with them, they would know that you're engaged with them. Like, it does change something that goes back to, like, you speed or you run a stop sign when there's nobody watching you. But when there's an officer there who's, you're obviously going to stop at that stop sign, I think... Yeah. Saying we know where you are, we know who you are, and we want to help you, but you're still saying we know where you are and where you are. So I just want to confirm, so is your answer yes, you would be open to this being a county-wide and not just a Kingston?
I have something to say.
Okay, I just wanted to get an answer on that.
Yep. You know, I'm not here to lobby. You're here to lobby for a program. I just heard what the sheriff said. Now, there could be other people come in who say something different or something the same. Then I would say, how many undercover guys do you need? How many surveillance guys do you need to roust them out? You remember me growing up, and you're not even old enough to remember that. Used to say, either you're going to jail or you're going in the Marines. You take your pick. You can't do that now. Oh, God, because he may have something in his life that made him want to be a bad guy. If somebody else had a different idea, you have your thoughts. I don't know what the rest of them are. But if he said, or somebody in your, I don't mean you in particular there, boss, but we need 7 new people because we have them in these areas. And we got to go out of the county to get somebody that may have a hood over their head so they don't know who they are. Dangerous business. Maybe that's what we got to do. I don't know. I'd like to hear people tell me what to do.
So let's lay a power here. Reference to the Urgent Task Force, our drug arrests have almost doubled in the last 2 years. So we're doing everything that we can. And you can look at our social media and Facebook to see all the arrests that these guys are doing on a regular basis. They've been hitting out of the park. It's not a case of building that up, although, of course, I would never say no to that. I would definitely take more people. I would never say no. Because my job is public safety and the safety of the people of this county. But I have to work with what I have without increasing, as we all know, the tax burden on our tax payers.
And you know, on the surveillance part of it, undercover stuff, it's now coming out. The FBI had plenty of people in that march on Washington, January 6th, just to nab some of these people. So it's not unheard of to have informants.
Oh, absolutely.
Narcs.
That's a great point.
Okay.
I would say one point on what you just said. This program that I just said will be an intel-based program. Although, let's say the individual doesn't want a GED. Let's say he doesn't want vocational training. Let's say he doesn't want mental health training, and he's still doing what he's doing. Our surveillance team's going to be outside. He's going to know that we know that he has a gun. And the intel that we get from a group like this is going to be incredible. And I can tell you that that's based off of the framework that I have right now. It's called Oracle.
And I just want to be clear. I'm not lobbying. I'm hearing from our chief executive law enforcement person of our county, who is telling me this is what we should be doing. And I trust this person who not only is in charge of our county law enforcement, but meets with the chiefs of every municipality. And
what did he say we should do?
This initiative, this program where
we get more undercover cops?
No, it's a little bit more complex, but targeting those people who we know are most likely going to be engaging in the violent behavior, reaching out to them, engaging with them, providing services if they want them, but also recognizing that if they don't, they're at least saying, I see you, you see me, we're all here. But knowing that it's a small number of people who are doing a large number of these violent crimes, and really just walking up to them, it's like if I said, if the sheriff was to walk up to me and say, just so you know you run stop signs, I'm going to change my behavior right then and there because I was just told that they were aware of this on me. And so if it sounds like lobbying, it's not. It's actually being compelled by the person whose primary responsibility is public safety in our county, who I know works very hard to think about how to respond to it. And I think that's what I want to.
We have no case.
Trust him.
Against these individuals right now. I said the name earlier, Mitch Gardner. I said that he was responsible for about 40% of the shootings, but he's only being charged for maybe 10% because that's the only case that we were able to get against him, the City of Kingston and the District Attorney's Office. We know who these individuals are. If we go knock on their door, at least let them know that we know who they are, and we just look, either you stop or you go this direction or we're going to be on you. If they know that we know, they're not going to be there. Not, they may. But simply waiting for them to do something is insufficient when we know we have a problem of crime here in this county.
You know, all my life, I've known people like that. And if you confront them, sometimes they'll acknowledge it. But they never, seldom take responsibility for it. And the minute your back is turned, off they go. And of course, I know folks too, if I went and knocked on a door and said, Johnny's a jackass, and he's causing nothing but trouble. And I said, get away from me. He hasn't been arrested for anything. Prove it. So
then we'll prove it.
So that's just like your patrol around here that they didn't like anymore. Because why? It worked.
It did work.
But we don't want you guys around
it
here.
It did work.
And you knew there were people in the community.
There were only two.
We can go round and round in this forever.
There were only two shootings during that 10-week period. And there was zero homicides.
So,
that's right.
What we have on the table are to have a public hearing and invite all of the state and local political electeds and all of law enforcement and ask them, why is this happening and what should we do? That's on the table. The other thing on the table is to put forth a resolution to fund this program. Three, and this could be and ors, they're not ors, put forth a resolution from us that puts money to Ulster Prevention Council and have them create community-based responses using community members to identify an initiative within their community. It's also plausible, because of COVID's impact, that we could put in these two resolutions as suggested for Recovery Act money from this group if we wanted to. I think it fits into the model of COVID impacts, so we could do that. And I guess I just want to add one more thing, is that and this is not anything we necessarily vote on, but you're not running for re-election, and Legislator Haynes is not, so I don't know how much when this will come into place, but that we commit to not letting there be cuts for the DA's IPVI program, and we don't let there be cuts for the SNUG program, because those are two programs we have that are working on this, and that we want to make sure that they, if anything, are further supported but not restricted. But that's more on a sort of gentle person's handshake, that we recognize that the programs we are doing should be maintained at their level, if not more in the future, so that if the district attorney comes to us in his 2022 budget and says, I need a little bit more money for domestic violence, that we recognize that that is a real need that has been heightened over this pandemic. So, yes.
Yeah, and to, legislators, Perry's concern and what you said in terms of reaching out to elected officials, especially on the state level, and I think one might be even more informative and faster would be to actually reach out to them and ask them to submit in writing current initiatives, current funding streams coming out of the most recent round of state funding in the state budget, and get a summary of what's happening on the state level. To educate us, not only if there's something we can pile on to, but also that might spur ideas amongst ourselves. I think that request could actually even be made in a
quicker fashion in that sense.
That'd be great. I mean, again, it just came out in the paper that the governor wants to do this, but we don't know what money's being put behind it yet and what we would be eligible to receive. I like that. Yeah.
I would just say, you're the chairlady of the committee. You invite who you want. You've heard everybody speak.
Yeah,
you don't have to have a motion
to
invite two of these and
myself.
One of these and three of these. You do what you think is the right thing.
Well, we have to first have a vote on whether we want to have a public hearing or whatever you want to call it. My personal feeling is I'm not supportive of having this hearing.
A public hearing meaning like
inviting all
at 10 o'clock in the morning, like we have our meetings and 6 minutes later it's over. We're inviting people to our meeting.
Right. I'm saying I'm not in support of that approach personally. But we are a group and we can vote on it. I'm saying that that's not...
I would be in favor of it.
So, well, do you want to make a...
You're in favor of...
Of inviting, just like he's invited, we can invite the mayor, we can invite the state police superintendent to our meeting.
Okay. That's
our meeting and ask the district attorney. It's just 5 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes.
So when we did invite the district attorney, and he did have 15 minutes.
Pardon?
The district attorney was invited, and he spoke for 15 minutes.
Before I got here today?
No, at our special meeting.
But it was on the GIMP program or something, wasn't it? That was about discovery. I'm talking about how do we prevent violence. What's your idea for it, Mr. DA?
Yeah, that was what he talked about.
Oh, I didn't get that.
So, okay.
I didn't get that.
So, would you like to make
I'll
a motion?
I'll move that you invite people to our next, to a meeting that you feel comfortable with, whether it be the next one or the one after that.
Well, yeah,
and let
please,
them...
Can you just define people?
If we did do that, which I think is always kind of a function, ongoing function of a standing committee in the legislature, you know, I'd be interested in meeting with. I don't know if, since I've been on law enforcement, we have had representatives from Ulster Prevention here. I could be wrong.
No.
Yeah, so I'd be interested in having, that'd be a good place to...
Yeah, follow. I mean, I will say at this point, they may not have anything to say about violence, but if we had this initiative, they might have something to say about it. So, just to be clear, so you're putting a motion forth that we invite who?
Invited guests who could enlighten us on public safety and methods of reducing particularly violent crime. In our communities.
Okay. So is there a second for this?
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Only because I think we've already done it. So I guess it passes, but I don't want to take responsibility for doing this and deciding who's to come because I feel it's too ambiguous. I feel like I've invited the sheriff, I've invited the DA, they've told us what's going on, they've told us what they're doing, they told us what the initiatives, we fund these many initiatives. And so if Legislative Parity want to take it upon yourself to identify people to come to our meeting and you let them know
I will do that.
What you want them
I
to
will
talk.
Do that
again, I think
with
this
others.
Is an existing function of a committee. Members can request that
yes.
individual X, Y, or Z
right.
are
so
invited.
Go.
Yes, but what I said before, John, or legislator, to the chair lady, I don't want to be here, you know, she's the boss. But I'll certainly give you some thoughts, all right?
No, I don't want thoughts. You are, I'm empowering
thoughts
you.
Thoughts
on
people
do
to send to you.
Let Jay know the people you want invited.
Okay.
And let Jay know what to say to them in an email when she makes that.
Fine.
Email or letter.
Okay. I make a motion. Do I make a motion that we. I'm going to draft a resolution for the other two
yes.
and present it to you all to look at. Because I'm not going to make a motion that
yeah.
I'm going to go draft a resolution. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I'm going to draft those two and then yeah. we could discuss whether, and then if you didn't like the idea, you can let yeah. me know then. But if you do want to be on the resolution for the it's not really, it's sort of youth violence initiative, but the violence initiative and or if you want to be on the resolution for Ulster Prevention Council, please let me know, and I'll be happy to put your name on it.
Yeah. I think those are two excellent ideas, and the only reason why I'm supporting this, so to speak, public hearing that Mr. Parody is referring to is because I do remember vividly that the couple of meetings ago, when we were headed in the direction that you're heading now, once we got through that, got that kind of organized and set up, we did decide, not by a vote or a motion or anything, that we would have some kind of a public hearing to bring these people in. I remember that vividly. And I don't kind of want to go back on my word. I don't see the harm in doing it. I want to continue to move forward with the other initiatives. I think they're excellent ideas. And I know I had a daughter that struggled with heroin for 5 years, and they were, she was reached out to and helped. So that reaching out, I see it worked for me, and it worked for my family. That's why I definitely got a bit behind that. All right, so.
I'll make sure a draft of the resolution will be in front of you before our next meeting, so you have a chance to look it over, and then we can decide.
But I will definitely.
But I will not be. I think my intent would be not to. What is your preference? I could either get that draft to you in a substantial time to meet the deadline of. What month
August.
Are we in?
Yeah,
the July deadline for August.
Right.
Or I could have just it in draft form for our meeting to get in the end of August for September. So is there a preference?
Either work for me.
It would just matter that you would have to spend time looking at it pre-meeting if I want to get it within the timeline.
But you basically know what it's going to be anyway.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And if you have any other input on it, obviously I will reach out to Cheryl at Ulster Prevention Council to make sure she doesn't have any major problems with this idea. And if not, and if, you know, Nancy, if there's another source instead of Ulster Prevention Council that would be equally good or better to do these community, get these community groups going, it would be, you know, finite. It would be like a 1 year, 2 year kind of initiative. With a set amount of money that they could spend on their efforts.
And in this is going to be the one where we're going to pick the Sorgatys, Ellenville, New Paltz, Kingston, say $100,000, $25,000 each for them to look at their own. I think that's an awesome idea.
Because those have the highest rates of violent crime.
I live in Sorgatys.
Right. I just want to make, so for any other legislators outside this room, they understand that we pick those because they have the highest rates of violent crime.
I will definitely be in support of that. And try to get my people and my caucus to get behind it and support it also.
Terrific. Okay. Any old business?
Yeah, you know, just for legislator Heppner, we voted on some resolutions before.
Yep.
If
you but I think we went through it all. He's not allowed.
Pardon? If you wanted to open it up to vote again, if you wanted to be on, they passed.
They all
unanimously, but for your own.
Oh, no, I support them. I reviewed them before the meeting.
My hearing's going.
Yes, I mean, I support them.
Okay.
So
for the record, he's a yes on the resolutions. You don't have to open the
question
back up.
Okay.
He can just state for the record.
He's, yes.
Okay.
All right. A motion to adjourn. Oh, wait, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say that I'm in support of the sheriff's initiative and now being part of Oracle, I see that reaching out to people, there's a certain element of compassion that will reduce these people's propensity towards criminality, substance abuse, violence. And it goes back to a study involving adverse childhood experiences that if you've never heard of it, I didn't hear of it before I took CIT training. And once I heard of it, I started researching it, and adverse childhood experiences sort of lay the pathway to the problem we're seeing in our society today. Crisis intervention team at the college. So I've been reading up on that. I'd be happy to forward you articles on that. There's actually a questionnaire that goes along with adverse childhood experiences. And, you know, if you read it and you look at it, it just makes sense to reach out to these kids at a younger age, let them know that their lives do matter and that somebody values them, and that can reduce the potential to go this route by 15%.
And it could be a model program for other counties to emulate.
Yes.
All right. Did I do a motion to adjourn?
You asked for one. You didn't get it.
Motion?
Aye.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Don't forget to get the yellow paper.